time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On my series, Organic Gardening, sitting right next to me in the studio today is my good friend, Inspector Dave. And Inspector Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Joey B.
Hey, you know, today it's all about organic lawn care, which I think sometimes people forget or sometimes may not even know that they can do. So tell me, Inspector Dave, tell me about your organic lawn care.
Well, you know me, I'm the organic guy, and everything I do on my property is organic, and my lawn included, and I've been doing it since 1982, so I have a lot of experience, two different properties that I owned, and I did organics at both of them, and my lawns surpassed anybody's in the neighborhood, in my opinion.
So here's a question, and I've seen your lawn, and I sometimes, and probably in the show, will compare it to some of your neighbors' lawns when I go by and some of the things you'll be speaking about. Can anyone do organic lawn care?
Yes, it's very simple. It's actually easier than any other method. The products are available locally. You can get them online, and it's easy to do. The standard spreaders that you use is nothing crazy. Hose end sprayers, weeders, everything that you normally would have for any type of lawn care is useful in the organic field.
Hey. So why would you want to do organic lawn care? Like, what's my reason to go do it?
You want to stay away from chemicals. Think about your lawn and your family. Like, you're out there in your lawn, maybe you're having a picnic, you're playing ball with the kids, you have your pets out there, you're out there. Why would you want to be tramping around on top of chemicals? You want to have natural products out there that are safe for the environment and safe for you. They won't cause any problems for you, for your pets, because your pets go out and they kind of get into a lot of things, like dogs especially. They'll eat anything that's on the ground. So if you have chemicals out there that you just put out there a day or two before, they may be out there nibbling on those chemicals and ingesting them. And certainly those chemicals could also, with the kids rolling around out there, playing ball, it's getting on their playground equipment, on their sports equipment, on their shoes, you're tracking it in the house, they're going to get on their hands, they're licking their hands, they're touching their face. You're putting all these chemicals that you can absorb through your skin possibly and, just cause poor health.
Well, and as you're describing that, and I'm thinking, because landscapers that put chemical in our area of the country have to put the little white flags down, and I'll see white flags all over our lawn, and you'll see a little baby crawling on the lawn. And again, this is going to have an adverse effect on that child for years to come. Not a good thing. So here's my next question. You talk about the environment and lawn and chemicals. Now, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, again, you're putting chemicals now that are man-made chemicals that have ammonias in them. They have high phosphorus in them. Phosphorus can be very bad. A lot of states are starting to regulate the amount of that in the fertilizers because that has a real problem with running and leaching off into the rivers and causing problems. Nitrogen, the same thing. High amounts of nitrogen cause algae blooms in the rivers and the lakes because it all gets washed down. And also heavy rains, like a lot of the landscapers and even homeowners too, come out and they put their chemicals down without any thought to what the weather's going to be. And next thing you know, an hour later, we get a cloudburst, a thunderstorm comes through. Here's all these chemicals just washing off the lawn, running down the street into our storm sewers, which all eventually end up in our rivers and our lakes and our oceans.
Now, and as you're saying that, and I'm thinking about out in farm country, the phosphoryl blooms that we have, and again, talking about those major nutrients that we put on there, we do need to be careful with it. So how is a chemical lawn dangerous to your vegetable garden? And hey, one of my favorite places to go to is your organic vegetable garden. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you're growing food. And a lot of us are doing organic gardening now, thanks to a lot of efforts on many people's parts. But they're not thinking about the lawn that may be 5 or 10 feet away from their vegetable garden. Why would you want to put chemicals after doing all the organic things in your garden? They're going to leach over with the rain and tracking through there and just through common movement through the soil, especially if you have hilly terrain in your backyard and you could be downhill from those chemicals with your vegetable garden. So now you're putting all the things you're trying to keep out of your garden are finding their way into that soil again. And why would you want to do that? You know, I still have an issue too with my neighbors that are uphill from me, trying to convert them or trying them to lessen their use to pesticides and organic inorganic fertilizers in the backyard, because I worry about it coming down to my garden and undoing a lot of the things I'm trying to do in the yard.
Hey, and this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, here is one of my, and I'll interject a little bit on this one. So let me ask you this question. What about weed control?
Well, weed control, again, when you're putting a lawn at your house, you're not putting a putting green in. And everybody who's trying to strive for that perfect monoculture lawn where all the greens are the same, to achieve that is just going to cost you a ton of money, a ton of time, and a ton of chemicals. So I think there's a bit of a mindset we need to think about that weeds aren't necessarily bad. Clover, which people consider bad and try to kill it in their lawns, adds nitrogen to the soil, and it provides flowers for the bees to get pollen from. Also, some other ways for weed control are hand-to-hand combat. You know, just a little weeder there, you get a dandelion here or there, and once you control them, it's very easy to maintain that control as long as you keep up with it.
So in that hand-to-hand combat, does that mean I have to actually get on my hands and knees and battle through?
Well, you may be on your hands and knees, and they have stand-up ones now, too. As you get older, they have long-handled little probes that go in and get under the dandelions or the broadleaves and yank them out for you. And you can do some spot control. There are some organic weed controller products that you can get that are organic-based and are approved for that type of use. And you can just do some spot treating, you know, for those weeds that creep in there.
Now, I have just a comment, because you were talking about a monoculture that's created, you know, people that are trying to create those perfect lawns. And correct, that itself is not a healthy lawn to have in case, you know, disease, things like that.
That's correct. Any kind of monoculture, whether it's lawns, trees, your flower garden, your vegetable garden, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Because again, like if a disease gets in there or the weather doesn't favor that particular variety of plant or grass that year, you're not going to get good performance out of the lawn. You know, another way to really control the weeds too is to keeping the grass cut high. And a lot of people, so I got to cut the grass and cut it as short as I can so I don't have to cut it again, you know, too soon. But you want to cut the grass probably at the highest setting you can get on your lawnmower, because that'll help to shade out the weeds. The seeds won't get the sun, so they won't germinate as readily. And it keeps the soil cooler, too, which is better for the roots of the grass.
Well, you mean, so I've been doing something right all along because my tractor setting is the highest setting there is. And you know what? I have to cut less, too, because you let it grow a little bit more. And you know, and I really mean this. And it looks nice, too. Now, here's a question I have for you. And I know this is big in lawn care products. Tell me about the corn gluten products.
Well, I've been using a corn gluten product. The brand name is WOW, or WOW Supreme from Gardens Alive. But there's other corn gluten products out there too. It's a granular type fertilizer and weed preventer that you put in your regular spreader, and you can broadcast it or drop spread it onto the lawn. And how it works is they don't really explain exactly how the science of it, but it's an inhibitive product that will prevent weed seeds from sprouting. And that's what it all is, a preventative type barrier you put down. And you put it down once in the spring when the forsythia are coming out, and again in the fall, where you actually do get a lot of weeds that sprout in the fall, in the cooler weather and the rainier weathers of the fall. So two times a year, it goes in your spreader, and not only does it prevent the weeds from sprouting, it also feeds the lawn organically at a slow pace, which is what you want to do.
And you know what I do? Looking at the landscapers, typically, and again, I'll just use another, because we don't get paid for any of these, naming any of these products, but you look at the Scotts people that are out there, and they're prophesizing that you should be fertilizing four times a year. And I don't think you need to feed your lawn that much. And when you're doing the corn gluten products, as you said, you're only going twice a year, so it's less expensive also to do your lawn.
Yes. And that's a big part of when you're thinking of lawn care. What's it going to cost me to do that to get the results that I want? And I find the organics really do work out well economy-wise to do that. You know, when you start getting into the chemical lawns, it's kind of like this is your lawn on drugs. And just like when people take drugs, they need more and more. It's the same with a lawn. They need more chemicals, and they need more chemicals. It becomes an endless vicious cycle on these lawns when you start getting into the chemicals.
All right. Now, we're talking about taking care of some of the weeds. And my take on weeds is this. As an environmental scientist, I call every plant a plant, and I don't call them a weed. And I actually like some of the plants because, for example, broadleaf plantain. Somebody said, well, I want to kill this and it's a weed. Well, rabbits eat that. I mean, that's a wild lettuce. I would remember my grandma going lawn to lawn growing up, and she'd be cutting some of the different wild lettuces growing on people's lawns. This is before anyone ever sprayed chemical. And in our salad that night would be lettuces from the garden and then the wild lettuces as well. So, hey, there's my little take on that. But now let's go to some of the other problems anyone, whether you're doing organic or not, you're faced with, and that's grub and other insects. Like, how do we control them?
Well, grubs will attack a chemical lawn sooner because the root system in a chemical lawn is more near the surface, so it's easier for the grubs to get to. And they'll get in there and they'll start chopping on the roots is what happens, and you'll see the lawn will die off in patches, or you can even roll it back like a piece of carpeting, and that's a sign of grubs. You can dig down a little bit, and you'll find little white bugs. Some are from Japanese beetles, some are chafer bugs. There's a couple different varieties that can do damage there. But they can be controlled just by having a healthy lawn that can recover quickly from any damage, having a deeper root system, which is what an organic lawn will do, so the even if some of the roots get chewed up by the grubs, there's more root system going further down into the subsoils that it's going to maintain and sustain that lawn health-wise. There are some products you can do. There's a milky spore that you can use. There's been controversy whether it works really good, but it's something, it's like a little powder you put, and it goes out in the lawn in different areas, and then it multiplies and stays in the ground, and it poisons the grubs, basically, in a healthy way, if there's a healthy way to poison things. And then there's nematodes, which are little microscopic worms that you buy, and you inject them into the ground, and they will attack the grubs also. And then some people, if you have a really small area, some people actually buy either golf shoes, or they have sandals with little spikes on the bottom, and they actually walk around on the lawn and aerate it a little bit, and also stab the grubs maybe as they're walking around.
So it's like a little shish kebab type of thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And as you're speaking, and you know my mind is always working, and I'm thinking about that weed control, so I'm back on that. And you're talking about some spot control. Are there any specific products that you use for spot control of a weed?
Yes, I've been using IronX, which is a product that I get online from Gardens Alive also, but it's available in many places. And it's just a liquid. You mix it up with some water, and you just use it from a spray container. And you just go out and you spray the weeds a little bit, and in a couple of days, they kind of shrivel up and they go away. And it's a mild type of weed control, and it's considered organic control, so it's safe to use on organic lawns.
Well, it's organic, but if you were to spray it and it hit some of your grass, would it kill it also?
No, it's selective. It doesn't kill the grass. It's a selective weed control. So it will. There's a number of things that are listed on the label that it will control. So you decide what you want to control with it, and you spray those particular weeds or that area with it.
All right. So now, speaking about those grasses, are there certain grass seeds that are better than others?
Yes. When you're picking grass seeds now, there also are seeds that are grown organically, which is one thing you can look for. And you also want to look for seeds that have a natural grub protection built into them, or resistance into them. Jonathan Green has a good one that's out there that's really well. And then you just look for those endophytes that are built into the product. And what happens is the grubs will eat that grass, and it kills them, or it puts them away from the area. They don't like it because it's repellent to them. But that's the main thing. It's a grass seed that you want to, whenever you do that, you want to pick that. And I try to do, there's a couple different varieties of grass that they have. So I always try to stay away from the monoculture. So I'll get like one type of grass, 1 year seed, and then I'll get one that's slightly different from the same manufacturer, and I'll blend them maybe a little bit. So again, I'm not looking for that dark green all the way down like a putting green, or maybe some different patches that are different color greens, but that's okay. That's part of nature's palette.
And you know, it's funny. We get to go to the Jonathan Green Seed Growing Laboratory to learn all about it. So we're going to have another road trip on Joey B TV. And hey, if you want to check out some of our adventures, you can always go to joeyb.tv. And if you have a question for me or a comment for me or Inspector Dave, you can always tweet me at Joey B Outdoors. So now, my next question, and this goes to, I guess when you're driving through typical towns, you often see this. Does an organic lawn need water? Because I see so many different lawns being watered all the time. So tell me about that, Inspector Dave.
An organic lawn will definitely not use as much water as a chemical lawn. Remember we talked about the roots being deeper on an organic lawn and shallow on a chemical lawn. So if you have shallow roots, you have to water it more often, like every day, every other day. And as I go around the town too, I see people with the sprinkler systems built into their lawns, and it comes on with a timer, and usually the wrong time of day. It's usually in the middle of the day they're doing it, or at night when it's going to invite disease. But the thing is that they're putting hundreds, if not thousands, of gallons of water onto their lawn. That it's just, it's money. It's drinking water that is in short supply throughout the world. We're wasting it on the lawn. And a lot of the water, if you, I'm sure you've all seen that people are watering the sidewalk in front of their house, they're watering the street in front of their house, watering the side of the house. So a lot of that water is not even making itself available to the grasses that it's trying to irrigate. So I never water my lawn. My lawn is very happy, and it survives through many droughts and many hot weather. You'll see a little distress, but it never goes down like a chemical lawn. As soon as you start getting hot weather in June and July, you'll see the chemical lawns, they just start burning out right away because they have no resistance to dryness.
You know, it's funny, and as you're describing that one, as I'm walking from my property going towards your home and your organic garden, I look at the comparison between one of your neighbors and he has a chemical lawn, and you have the organic lawn. And in August, when it's really hot, really humid, you notice that his lawn is sometimes completely brown or browned up. And I look at your lawn, and I'm going, wow, that's something I wouldn't mind spending some, you know, basically some time on to kick a ball around or something, because it's just a beautiful lawn. And I do see the differences between, again, it's that comparison, organic and chemical, and there's definitely a big, big difference in that. Now, how should I cut and maintain the lawn that I'm using, the organic lawn?
Well, again, cutting it, we talked before, cutting it on the high side is always good for a lawn because it shades the soil, keeps it cooler, it's better for the roots, and it gives the grass some area to work with for photosynthesis and all. And you should be cutting in the cooler part of the day. So that way, you're cutting it now, so that it has like a wound on it, so to speak, each blade of grass. So if the sun is on there like at 100 degrees or after you cut it, that's stressful for the lawn. So try to go for the cooler part of the day. And you should try and cut it in different directions. One way vertical to the house, the other way parallel to the house, another time crisscross. So if you can get three or four different mowing directions, it's good because you won't get compaction of the soil from the weight of the machine with the wheel being in the same spot week after week when you cut it. And it also helps to give the grass more resistance to like the wind and all that, because you're cutting it and blowing it in different directions.
Now, I've just cut my lawn. Do I bag it? Do I let it go back to the soil? What do I do with the clippings?
Well, there's two things you can do. The ideal way is to let the clippings lie where you cut them, because they'll decompose very quickly, and they'll add nitrogen back into the soil, so you're creating a cycle there, a life cycle, which is what you want to do. And if for some reason you don't want to do that, because you can't let the lawn get real high and do that, because then you're going to have a lot of clippings there to decompose, and it may mat down a little bit. You won't get thatch from it, but you could get a little matting. So if it's extra heavy, like really in the early spring when the grass is really growing, you want to bag those clippings. And again, they're organic clippings, so where do they go? Into our compost pile.
So compost, so now you're getting a second use, and I always talk about like the recycle of things. You're going to use those again in your compost, which yours is the organic compost pile, which is ending up in your organic vegetable garden. Or can you even spread some of that compost on your lawn?
Sure. That's another way to feed your lawn. Once you have your finished compost and it's nice and crumbly and dry, you can actually put it in your spreader and spread it around. And that's like top feeding the soil. You know, that'll put some nutrients back into the ground also.
Wow. There are so many facets to growing that great organic lawn. So what are the products are part of my organic lawn care?
Well, in between the two corn gluten methods that I use, or the treatments that I use, I'll get into kelp, which is like a liquid product, or seaweed, or fish emulsion. And that comes in a concentrated form, and you put it in a hose end sprayer. And you can do that when you get stressed on the lawn, maybe in late June, early July, when the weather starts getting warm. It's a way to just go out and give it a quick little boost there. And that helps to deter animals a little bit, the smells. We've talked about that before. And it also just puts a little boost into that ground right away to carry you over through the bad times.
And you know something, and from my organic research, with my plant research, using kelp and fish emulsion. So I know that you're purchasing it not just for your lawn, but you're actually using that in your garden as well.
That's correct.
And I also know that they're not expensive. And that's the other thing about this. When you're talking about all these organic products, and yes, they're organic, they're not expensive either.
No, they're really not. And again, think about that. You're using a hose end sprayer. Again, you're near your vegetable garden spraying. Are you going to stand there with a hose end sprayer and spray chemicals on your lawn that are going to drift onto your plants? No, you want to have the same products that are safe for the vegetables and for the lawn.
Now, this next question that I ask you may sound silly until we get to the answer. Can I use soap on my lawn?
Yes, there's two different ways you can use soap. One is for a surfactant breakdown. It's what I use is Basic H. It's an organic type soap, and you mix it with water, very little bit, like a half a teaspoon to a gallon. You put it in the hose end sprayer, and that helps to break down the soil repellency on top. If you start to get some hard pan going on top, or it starts to get compacted, it helps to break it down, and it feeds a little bit too through its biological action. And then the other thing you can put in there is insecticidal soaps. If you're having some type of surface problem with bugs of some sort, there are insecticidal soaps that would be safe to use on a lawn too. I don't use those very often. I use the surfactant breakdown method a lot though.
Okay, so I know that this next topic here is important for your garden. I'm assuming that it's also very important for your lawn. What about the pH levels? And tell me, well, if I have a problem with pH, so how do I adjust it? So let's talk about those two pieces.
Okay, pH, again, is if you're going to do nothing else for your lawn this year, adjust the pH. Because getting the pH to the right zone, and you need to be between 6 and 7, more towards 7, which is your neutral area for lawn care. And what that does is unlock the soil, all the nutrients that are there, so that the grasses can pick up everything that's there and be healthy. And to bring those pH levels up, generally you would use lime. You want to bring it from an acid more to a base. And the lime would be the right thing to do. And that comes in a couple different ways. One is a powder lime, which can be a little messy if it's windy. You put it in your spreader and you spread it around. It can blow around a little bit, but it gets absorbed quickly. There's granulated limes, which are a little pelletized and are a little bit better to use. They're neater, a little slower to act on your lawn. And then there's liquid limes that you can get and mix it in your hose end sprayer again and go out, and that's very fast acting. So ideally, you want to always test your pH. You should do it a couple times a year in the spring and the fall. I like to lime in the fall. A lot of people just do everything in the spring because it's spring and they want to just go out and buy everything they can buy and do the lawn, you know, on the first nice day. But ideally, you want to do lime in the fall so it has all winter to get washed in by the snows and the winter weather, and a chance to work, to do its thing, and to bring the pH to the level that you want it at.
Now, this is also a question I know that many people have. Is it easy to test for the pH? And if it is, let me just ask you that question first. How do I test for it?
A couple of ways. You can buy a little test kit that has a little litmus paper. You can get a little meter, or you can send it off to Rutgers to their laboratory and let them test it for you.
See, I was hoping that you were going to say the Rutgers, being a Rutgers grad. I said, he's going to talk about the Rutgers extension over there. So, see, that was the leading question. But, hey, quite honestly, I know that it is very easy to test your own lawn. But, hey, some people either can't or won't. You know, it depends on the age you are and all that. And you could always send it off to your extension, your county extension somewhere. Now, what about your aeration on your lawn? How do we do that?
Well, aeration is what we're trying to do there is get air into the soil. And a lot of times, especially if it's heavily trafficked, like people are playing on it, or mailman's cutting across, or there's different things going on, the lawn gets very compacted. So it's nice to be able to put some holes in there that'll bring air up down into the ground, and that'll help to get everything working down there. A coring type aerator is the best, one that you would rent it from a home center or hire somebody to do it, and they would go around with a roller, and it would pop out little coils. You'll see them laying around on top, and they'll work their way back into the soil again.
Now, let's discuss lawn mowers. Are there some that are better than others? What type of lawn mower should I be using on my organic lawn?
Well, ideally, we want a manual mower. If you have a small enough yard and you can use the old push mower like we all had when we were kids and our parents made us run around with them, that's the ideal type. And a lot of the new ones that are out are much lighter weight and they're easier to do, and some are even self-sharpening. So there's a lot less work involved with pushing those around. So the manual one is the ideal first selection if you can go that route. There's cordless electric ones that are out there too. They have the newer batteries now. They're quiet. They don't pollute. They're, you know, helping your carbon footprint. Those work very well too. Those are, again, for the smaller yards. If you have a bigger yard, you're probably going to be staying on a power equipment of some type, you know, gasoline powered most likely. So the main thing is you want to look for something that's quiet. The decibel levels are really low on it because you're out there, your neighbors are out, your kids are out, the dogs are out. You want to keep your noise down. If you can get a mulching mower or a mower that does both, that mulches and catches the clippings, it's a good thing to have on there, because that way you can mulch it when there's not too much growing. And if you really need to catch the grass, you can do that too. The number one thing that you need to do, which most people fail to do, is keep the blade sharp. Because again, you're cutting the lawn, you're cutting a big area, there's maybe some dust, some rocks, some tree limbs, things you're running over. And a dull blade is going to make for a very unhealthy lawn. You're going to get like a white cast to it, a yellow cast to the lawn when you have a dull blade. So you got to get down on your hands and knees and look down to see a sharp, clean cut. If it's any type of tear on the grass or anything like that, if it's raveled on the end, it's time to sharpen your blade. And truly, your blade should be sharpened several times a year, depending on how much cutting that you do. But a lot of people sharpen it once a year, again in the spring when the mower's in the shop for a tune-up. But you should be checking that from a lot, you know, especially if you tend to hit rocks or you have things on the ground in your yard that beat up the blade. You may want to sharpen it more often.
Well, one of the things, as you're describing about the sharpening, I have something that I call tractor day. My tractor day is an early March day, and I look for warm weather where I can, it's not only the tractor, but all the other machinery that I use that I can get up there and basically give it that spring tune-up. But as you said, one of the key things is to drop the blades down, to sharpen the blades. Very important to start the season. Again, like anything, you want to start the season well, whether you're playing a sport or whether you're playing manicure the lawn. So we look for that. Now, are there professionals out there that can do organic lawn care?
There are some out. I've been to the garden shows and the home shows, and you'll see people that are preaching now the organic treatment of your lawn. So you have to kind of seek them out and see if they're truly organic, if they're going all the way for you or just doing a quasi-organic treatment on there. So you want to make sure that they're doing the right thing. Another thing with the blades too is having a second blade for your lawnmower is also a prudent thing to do, so that while one is gets dull, you have time to get that sharpened while the other machine is still working if you're cutting lawns a lot.
That one definitely makes sense. So you know, we're talking about landscapers, and some are professionals that can do organic lawn care, but the ones that aren't, can they do damage to your soil, your plants?
Well, sure. Again, the first obvious thing is the chemicals they're using, putting them all over there at different times. And, you know, most of the landscapers, the larger guys have certified guys that have to be licensed now in most states to handle the fertilizers and the pesticides. But again, you have a guy with 30 or 40 or 50 people working for him. The boss isn't going to be there every day keeping an eye on people. And then the smaller guys that are just doing it part-time, they may or may not be licensed or properly trained. They just read the directions on the bag, you know, and put it down as best they can. But again, they're not looking at the weather as much because they got 30 lawns they got to get done in a day. So they're just going to come flying through, put their chemicals down, cut the lawn at the worst time of the day, probably have a dull blade. They're going to have fuel spills, you know, either on your lawn or in the street in front of your house. They're going to also, they're going to compact your soil a lot more because the majority of these guys have larger machines because, again, time is money with them. So they're going to have big machines. They're going to be heavy on the ground. They're going to be compacting your soil also. So pretty much anything that can be done bad to your lawn from an organic side would be done by landscapers, in my opinion.
All right. And again, and I know because I see them all the time. But now the next thing is I hate to use this word. I'm not cheap. I like to use the word frugal. Frugal describes me. So is it cheaper to do my lawn organically or via chemical?
Absolutely cheaper to do it organically. Again, we talked about the four times versus two times a year. And the product itself is that I use the corn gluten is like $1 a pound. You know, and I use 80 pounds in the spring and another 80 pounds in the fall. So do the math on that. And then very little water. I use lime. Lime is very inexpensive to put down. and the kelp and all, the fish emulsion, that's all very cheap to use. So just, and again, and I cut my own lawn too because I like the exercise and being out there and keeping an eye on things. So all around, if I spend $300 on my lawn and I'm like 60 by 200, so I got a decent sized piece of lawn to take care of. So it's far cheaper than any professional or chemical method that you could do on your lawn.
And you described one thing, and to me it's just always, hey, I'm the outdoor adventure guy. I just want to be in the outdoors as much as I can. So some people consider doing your lawn a hardship, and I actually just consider, and I just call it tractor time. And again, it's just an enjoyable time to be outside. So is there a response time for organic versus chemical products?
Yes. When I'm out there in the lawn too, it's also nobody can like approach me. My cell phone, I can't hear it. I got my earmuffs on. So it's like my time where I can think, even though, you know, I think about things and think about a chapter in your book or something that's going on. It's an escape time where nobody really bothers you. That's what I like about doing my own lawn care too. And then the response time, though, for organics is slower. Chemicals are considered a quick fix. And that's why people like, well, I can put it on my lawn and 2 weeks later it's going to be green and ready to go and I can start golfing out there. You're organics, you got to wait a little while. Well, anything worth having is worth waiting for. And when you look at the chemicals, a lot of the numbers they put on the bags and all that means that the chemicals are there like quickly. An organic one has lower numbers on it, but it may have the same ratio of nutrients, but they go at a slower pace. So they have to do it, when they do the numbers, they put it the faster acting, the higher the number, the slower acting, the lower the number. But overall, your organic will put the same nutrients into the lawn in a healthier way over a longer period of time.
All right, so you just spoke about the numbers. So tell me about the numbers and what do they correspond to and what nutrients are we speaking about?
We got NPK. Those are the big things you see on there. You see nitrogen, which is the big green up thing that they have in there. Phosphorus, which helps to stimulate growth. And potassium, which is just good for balancing and getting the soil there. So the NPK, everybody's trying to get the higher the number. Oh, I got a 25 on mine, and I got a 20 on mine, and a 30, and I got numbers. My numbers are higher than your numbers. It's not about a contest of who's got the higher number. It's a contest of what's balanced properly so that the ground and the soil where that ground, the grass is growing is properly balanced too, not artificially stimulated by a high amount.
Now, here's something because, again, being an environmental scientist, will I see more birds, worms, and wildlife if I go organic?
Absolutely. The worms are just going to be incredible in your yard. I have robins the entire time that worms are available to the birds. The robins just come to my yard. They don't even look at my neighbor's yard because there's no worms there because they're all chemicals or very little worms. So they come into my yard, and I'm happy to share the worms because I know there's tons of them out there. And then the birds, it's just better for them because everything that I grow, like the different types of seed on my plants and on the different trees and the little berries are all not chemically treated in any way. So the birds are getting healthy food from a natural source within the garden. Things they pick up off my lawn, the grass, the leaves, all that they make nests with, all chemical free. So they have a nice healthy nest they're living in. I mean, they're just going to love it. I had the fox in my yard the other day. You were over there. And the fox was running around my yard in the snow and just having a ball. And he caught a little mouse there. He was playing with the mouse. It was like the best half hour of wild America I've had in my backyard probably in months.
And he was eating an organic mouse there.
Right, who came from my compost pile.
There you go. Right. So the food chain, he's eating organics from your compost right up the food chain. It was, hey, definitely wild America in your backyard. Now, when can I start building my soil and my lawn?
The sooner the better. As soon as you can swear off those chemicals, do it and just start working on it. Again, you can do it in the fall. You can start feeding. In the spring, you can feed. Even in the summer, just get off the chemicals and just start building that lawn. You want to do some patchwork. You can experiment in some of the patch areas. You know, that's the one thing I didn't talk about, the corn gluten, too. When you're doing that, that will also inhibit grass seed from sprouting. So you have to time any grass seed additions that you do with the corn gluten application or add a little topsoil on top of the corn gluten to where you're going to sprout some seed there because it'll inhibit those, too. But I just I'm so sold on organic lawn care, and I'm trying to get all my neighbors to go to it too. And I took over one of my ladies across the street who had a lawn. It was just so full of dandelions and broadleaf weeds and all kinds of things. And the neighbors were running over there spraying chemicals on it and complaining to me, can't you do something? Can't you help her out? So, because they were all getting the dandelion flowers, you know, the blowing over there, all the little money stealers blowing off. So I took it over. I said, give me a year and a half. Says, I can turn that lawn around and make it look 10 times better than yours for half or maybe a quarter of the cost. So I've taken it over and I've eliminated the weeds on the property. So it's a nice looking lawn now. Again, not a monoculture, but it's a healthy lawn. She has cats that roam in the yard over there, so she worries about her cats. And the neighbors, you know, at least it's a testament to what I do. And hopefully the neighbors are taking notice. Wow, you really did turn that lawn around organically.
Well, Inspector Dave, every time I am with you, I always learn something. Hey, maybe that's why you're my friend, or maybe because you just happen to be a great guy who happens to be a great organic gardener. But now it's not just your garden, but your lawn. And I'm sure we have just taught so many people out there, and we've also turned so many people onto organic lawn care. So as usual, I just want to thank you for having you on the show.
Okay, I was glad to be here and to be able to share my knowledge with everyone.
Hey, until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.